Okay. You know, one of the things that's brought down, we're going to do tonight, about to be an anuf, is a rebbe to a talmud, or someone who gives a shir, don't get caught up too much with yourself. But when you're giving a shir, and there's very few guys, you can never get too caught up with yourself. Right? It's easy. Easy then. Okay, you ready?
When the rebbeim has a yahrzeit for his daughter, I think that's
tonight or was earlier?
That's why there was no love to give shir tonight.
Really?
I think it was after tomorrow.
Who has the yahrzeit?
Rabbi Reznik.
His daughter. His daughter.
Okay. So the Gemara says like this. Amalei Umina, the first wide line at the end of the line. Okay. Amalei Umina. So this Bikurius said Megviya ben Pesisa. To Gviya ben Pesisa. And just you should know that was his name. His name was Gviya ben Pesisa. And Rashi says he had a kumumius. That means he was a hunchback. He was leaned over. He bent over. Was not able to stand up straight. His back was bent over. What? Whatever, tell him what a hunchback is. It's a hunchback. It's someone who can't stand straight.
Bent
over. Can't straighten his back out. So this min said, Vay l'chon chayivei, woe is to you sinner. That you will say, Maisin Chayin, that the dead people will come back alive. Because the Chayin Maisi, the Maisi Chayin, in other words, if the people that are alive die, then you tell me that the alive people are going to come back. So he said, woe to you, you think that there's such a concept that the people who are dead can come back alive, that there's such a concept of Chiyas HaNeisim, way off. He said, woe is to you, it's a pity that you could think such a thing. So he said back to him, Amalei. No, I'm sorry. What happened was this, I'm sorry, I read it wrong. He said to, again, let's start it again. So that's what the min said to him. So Amalei, so Gavina ben Bethesda said back to him, Vei l'choin chayivim, woe is to you, sinner, that amritun maishi loy chayim. That hold that the dead people can't come back alive. Why? Because he says the loy have chaye, the have chaye lekoshkein. Madach someone that was never alive to begin with could be born. Hashem could create a baby to be born in the first place. So koshkein, someone who was alive and died could be brought back alive. So the min said to Gavia, that woe to you that you think someone who dies could come back alive. He's dead, how can he come back alive? And if he answered back to him, woe is to you that you think that someone who's dead can't come back alive when the person was able to be born in the first place. So Kosh Kane, he should be able to be brought back to life, right? So Amalei said, Min, got a little insulted it seems, and he said to Gavia, you called me a sinner. That's what you called me. Ikamina, if a taka comes out like you're saying, if after we're all dead, we come back alive, and I take a look and hey, I see we're back alive. In other words, he's saying, if you end up right, so he says, he says, I'll kick you and I'll straighten out your back. He said, basically, I'll straighten you out. That was how for sure his min was, that Gavir was way off. There was no way that they were gonna that the concept of Jesus Mason could make sense. So Amalei, so Gavir said back in my thought, he said, Cain, if you could pull that one off, Rafe Uman, you should be called a real big doctor. Uskar Harbi Tito, you should get paid a lot of money for it. He basically answered him back, if you could pull that off, so I guess the back and forth over here seemed to be that the min said that no way And he had his corrupt way of looking at it. And Gavia said back to him, it's a pity that you're so corrupt that you don't see clearly. And at the end of the day, they parted. That's where that story ends. Gavia didn't make an inroad into him. All he did was get him to say, if it ends up like that, I'll straighten out your back. And Gavia came back with the charge money for that. He wouldn't be able to do that either. You know, like even that you can't keep, basically. So this turns out, let's just call it a stalemate for right now, but the Min wasn't convinced, or at least it didn't seem like it, from the Gemara. All the other cases that we learned so far, at the end there was some sort of a leaning. At this point though, it doesn't seem like it got anywhere. Then the Gemara continues to the next Gemara. The next case.
Are we supposed to get something that Esther's supposed to get from this card?
Well, each case, each person dealt with Gavia, or each Min dealt with their different, you know, Amora that they came to, had a different slant on it. You know, exactly, you know, every Nakuda, what was Moishif, what was not Moishif. So I was trying to explain to you that over here, it was, you see how he dealt with it. He dealt with him, he knew when to tell him, yeah, right, then you should take a lot of money for it. You know, it was a lot to say, basically, you're not being serious, I'm not going to take you seriously.
If I understand correctly, we're understanding how Chazal deals with people that are serious and not serious.
Well, you definitely see different responses. Some were treated a different way, depending on what they said. Here he said a crazy thing that he's going to have to take away his hunchback. So you could tell that he wasn't dealing with it, I guess. One second.
It's just an absurd answer. It's not agreeing with
us. Right, so the Mashal says, you're the Farish Bazet, that there's more later on that says, Sheyesh Rishom, Sheyin Oin Dem Tchiyas HaMeshim. A certain Rishom that don't have Tchiyas HaMeshim to join Dara Mabel, says, Lo Yodin Muchi. And then there are some Rishom, Sheyu Oin Dem Tchiyas HaMeshim, Yu Nidunim Oz Al Rishom. There are some that will get up at Tchiyas HaMeshim, and they're going to get down at that point. For example, Anshi Sedayim.
Is that better or worse?
Huh?
Is that better or worse?
Oh, so it comes out that there's Yeshua, some held like that, and some held like that. There's some Rishonim that have Tchiyas HaMeshim, and then they get donned up then, after they're Chayy, they get alive, and some don't even get up at all. Okay, that's what he says. So this Min, okay, Zishom HaMin Al Yisrael, Ukurasim Chayyavim. So what was the Min was trying to say? He called them a sinner. Woe to you sinners. That was Chayavim. So they, L'choin, Lo'im Akein, Damrisu Ma'isi Chayim. So you could say that the people that are dead come back alive. I read, Atem Nidoinim, Oz Abishechem. Okay, and that then they're going to be, he was basically trying to refer to the Rishonim that are going to get become alive and get donned up after they have Tchiyas HaMeshim. And sin, and he said that these people, I will know lachem loymer the chayim mason, the mason chayim she ain't chiyas mason v'loy tchiyu nidoinim, and he was trying to say that they don't get anything. So he shall adu revei lachoyin chayom v'shatim me'oisei kat shoshem she ain't oinim oilam abad. Well, what happened was is like this. He was trying to explain. The Min was trying to give over that he's going to have a certain that when they get up, the Rishonim that have Tchiyas HaMeshim are down at that point, right? So when Gavia responded to him, he said, no, you're not even from that group, you're not getting up. So that, what the Mashal is saying, that's what really is being moistened over here, what's being added by this case, that there is a difference. I'm not going to go into the end of the Mashal, it's a little bit technical. But the Maisa,
so it's better to get up and be done than not to get up at all.
Obviously. And that's what Gavir was saying, that you're knocking that. You're not even getting that. You got to be zeicher to get up and get down. And here you're not even getting up. And again, was it you that showed me the bracha that we did the bracha together?
No, that was me.
It was you. Yeah. Ah, okay, on my fourth try. Okay, I did it with them also. I mentioned last year, the bracha of Taka says that the min is talking about a min of a goy, because a min of a yid, you're wasting your time. He's not going to be makabel. Don't bother. But whatever. I wasn't sure who it was. But Lamaisa, that's what it seems like with being Moshe over here. Each case is a little different slant, a little different nakuda in Anhoga. That we should realize that they get a certain, at least if they, some of them will have Tchias HaMeishim. They'll just be done at the time of Tchias HaMeishim as to what their matzav is going to be like at that point. But there's some Hashem, like we were saying, someone who's covered with Tchias HaMeishim is not going to get Tchias HaMeishim. He's not going to get it at all. Okay, it ain't going to happen. Okay? Now, Mara continues. So, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we're 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down from where it got wide. The Esrim v'Arba'a b'Nisan, on the 24th day of Nisan, is Netilu Kimnus Noe Yehuda Mirushalay. On this day, these people came, these are the people that were Oyvim, Rashi says, that they tried to take a chelik from Eretz Yisrael back for themselves. They wanted to try to say that they were the rightful owners, so to speak, and that the Yid didn't have to pack out. What?
That's not
yeah. It was happening way back in those days. Kishibo B'nai Africa. Okay, when the B'nai Africa came, we already know what kind of people we're talking about. London and Israel. They came to have this judgment, this din with Israel. This Nei Al-Sajun Mogdan, Frederick Alexander Mogdan, he was the one who had conquered Israel at the time that we were living under his auspices, I guess, at the time. And Omulai, and they said to Alexander, Eretz Kanan Shalonui. It's ours. They said, Eretz Kanan L'Vloisel, Ukanan Abuhain Dahanu in Shiave. And they said, wait, it's Eretz Kanan. Now, that means, whose father was Kanan? Us Africans. So let's get it straight here, Alexander. You guys have to leave. This is our turf. That's basically what they said to Alexander Mogdan. Okay, so now, you thought that what's going on now is, this is way back then, there were people trying to kick the Yidden out with their cheshbonis, but it was a pel de gezach, because, and the Marshal points this out, and we'll soon see, that what did the Africans do to prove their point? They quoted a pasuk in Chumash. Let's try to understand this. Okay? What?
All these were the meaning is pasukim.
They quoted, that means they believed in the Chumash, and they believed in the authenticity and the reliability of the Chumash.
It could be they're just using it as a...
But they wouldn't use it. Okay, but they wouldn't use it then. They'd be a steer in their way.
Never. You're Jewish. You believe in this Chumash. And I say, you're Chumash. It says it belongs to me.
And that's what the Mashal says is what the Gevir, who ends up answering back, said to them. You are quoting the Chumash, right? That means it means something to you also, or you wouldn't bother bringing it, right? I'll bring you right from the Chumash that you're bringing to show me that the Chumash is clearly that it's not Shaykh. That means he flipped his back. That was the game that he played right back on him. And this is what he says. Omelu Gevir ben Besisa l'chachamim. So Gevir ben Besisa stood up and he said to the Chachamim, because what happened was the Chachamim must have been there, and Alexander Mogdan was like the referee, so to speak. And the Africans came and they gave their taina, and then we had to respond to that. So the Chachamim were So Gvir got up and he asked the Chum and said, let me enter. Tanuli Rishus.
This Alexander's guy, he's Jewish?
Not at all.
No.
This is Alexander,
Alexander
the Great.
The Great. Yeah, right. He was the one who took, he conquered.
He's conquered.
They're coming to him.
So they came at a time that you should kick the Jews out and let us back in here.
But he liked the Jews, Alexander.
Right. He was here?
What?
This was here?
Yeah, way back in the day. Way back in the day.
I don't know
he ruled there for a while. He had conquered whoever was here before him.
But they were fighting over Eretz Yisrael.
Right, right. The Bnei Africa people came and said, we want in, and you guys got to leave. So Gevir said to the Chacham, give me Rishus, Tenuli Rishus, give me Rishus, Eilich ve'edoy nimon, and I'll go and I'll deal with them. Nay, Achzadjan Maiten, I'll be the one to answer up in front of Alexander, and Im Yenatz Chuni, if they win, if let's say they out negotiate me and they can slug me up, so then Amu, you could just say, Hedyoy Shabonu Nitzach. That I was a hedyot. There's much bigger chacham that could have argued with them better. And you'll have a way out. And you can always say that really, 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 you didn't give it your best shot.
He was unauthorized to negotiate.
Right, basically. Okay, even though he got rishus, but they would be able to say he was the wimpy one amongst us. But if I do win, you could say, Torus Moshe Nitzachta. Now this is going to be the topic of Ashir tonight, but let's just theorize the story. So Nosnu Le Rishus, they gave him Rishus, V'halach V'dan Iman, and he went and he did the din. Amalem Mehechan Atem Evi'en Raya. So where are you bringing your Raya from? Amalem Minat Torah. Well, we're bringing it from the Torah. The Africans were very proud of themselves. They knew the Torah and they're bringing it right from the Torah. So Amalem Minat Torah, Amalem, so I'll bring you back a raya from the Torah as well. Shenema, Yema Oru Kanan. Cursed are Kanan. Eved Avadim Yielecha. He'll be an Eved to his brothers. So Eved Shekana Nachasim. Eved Lemi Nachasim Lemi. Who gets it? V'loyoyin. Everything Kol Ma Shekana. Eved Kana Rabbi. Right. You've been in Africa, you haven't been working for us lately. I think there's some back work you owe us. So Alexandra said back. So he turned to the African, he said, Nu, this could be a good time now. So Nu say something back. So Amalai, Tunula Nuzman, Shlashayam, give us 3 days, you gotta think about what to say. Today, Salman gave him the time. But they checked for Matsu Tshuva. They realized they didn't have a good answer. So Miyad, Baruchu, they ran. Vinichoi, so they sent, and they left over the fields. Kishen Zeroyes, they were all planted and ready to be harvested. Vikarmehen, and the vineyard chain of two ice. And what happened? Isa Shana, Shvias Isa. It happened to be Shvias. So the Yidden Marish walked into fully made fields with all the food that they needed. Because they backed out. So what do we see from here? So many, many, many things we see from here. But like we said before, the Marsha points out that they were bringing a riot from the Torah. So he went goofed to that thing and he brought a riot back connected. But there's one thing before that that we'll talk about tonight for a little bit. And that is what he said, Gevir said, if I blow it and they outsmart me. So you can always say, yeah, he was a hedgehog. That part, we understand. It's a very good way to, like, wheedle out. But then he said, but if I win, so then, it's Torah's Moshe Nitzachta. What does that mean? Torah's Moshe Nitzachta. Lamaisa, if he's the hedgehog when he loses, why can he be the chacham when he wins? That look, you always say Pumfakir. Why don't you just say, even though the enemy won you? Like the blame he's gonna get and the credit he's not gonna get. Now the Torah's Moshe Nitzachtem, the Mashal brings down, is Gufa saying that this term that you're using as a riot to you is Gufa a riot to me, and that's what wins out. Because then if you believe in the Torah, it's Sukkim that say exactly why what you're saying can't be. Now, the Mashal points out a very interesting thing that we see from Gevira, a Gevaldik Yisai, and he says it's one word. He says, the Lashon is, Amalai Teres Moshe, says Mashal, Humiderech Ha'anova. Being humble. Kishahem Yinatschuni Termu Hegit, Shabonu Nitzachlem. Okshani Anatchem, Alt Kalu Anitzachem B, El Teres Moshe Nitzachlem. He's being an honor. That means if I blow it, it's my fault. If it works out, Kodesh Baruch Hu Teres Moshe.
Now, he said yes.
Now, what's the limud that we can walk away with from this Gemara? There are many. Let's pick one. Let's talk about the concept of anova. What is anova? I've heard the Rav a little bit over the last few weeks talk about Shara Kniya in the Chavit HaLavas, which I think he's learning with the Shul. About what is Kniya? How is Kniya? What's the purpose of Kniya? Ruach, what does that mean? You're walking around, you know, with a sign on your forehead telling everybody to kick you. That's not what it means. You're not walking around asking to be kicked. So, what is Kaniya? How is Kaniya? Milo? So, it's a very big topic. Many, the Chavit HaLavas talks about it. And there's many prakim, 10 prakim to be exact. And I want to work on one nukuda that maybe we could bite our teeth into. There's a lot here, but let's talk about something which the nature of a person, something that might be easy for us to digest and internalize. He brings down a Perek Yud. A couple of Tielesin. He says he wants to know. There are six Tielesis, things that being achnod, achnia, an over, an on of, could bring to a person. Shalosh binyanei olam hazeh. There are three that deal with Olam HaZeh Inyanim and three that deal with Olam HaBo Inyanim. Okay? So, just to go quickly through the Rosh Hashanah, I want to deal on just one of them. He says the first one is that she was a Meach Mechelka, the person who's happy with his Chelak. And, you know, the Svar is Nesenes, is someone who's happy with his Chelak, has a more peaceful existence. And that's a whole schmooze in and of itself. It's not for tonight. Guy on the other hand who's a Balgaiva, not Machnia, he always wants more. So we know that could drive a guy right out of this world. It's Matian as Adam and Olam, and a topic for a different night. Then he says, a person who's got a nevis, someone's on of, is Kashem Atzavim is Hapech Mutevim. I feel like they suddenly things take a bad turn. And Tzaris Kam, who Mesugu Lizboil Esav. He's able to carry the burden. There are sometimes things are going smooth and everything's good, and then a curveball comes and we're thrown through a loop. If we have achana, so we understand that we're not calling the shots, it's much easier to adapt to the turbulences in life and the different issues that come up and not get so bent out of shape. Memela, again, your Olam Hazeh is going to be a better Olam Hazeh. This is the second thing that Chazal says is a gain, negate Olam Hazeh. Then he says the third thing that is negeya teyelis for olam hazeh is sha'anav moitzi chen yoser be'enei b'nei adam. He's moitzi chen. He's liked by people much more. V'ulov aleihem. He's ulov by them. V'lekosha lekabalas daitam osnai kemoisav. Easy going. People like easy going people. Someone who's a real rigid, not flexible, stubborn. People avoid such people. They don't deal with that. If they have a run-in with that person, the humor, they're not macabre anything from him. He could scream and yell, and they have to hold themselves from laughing. The more frustrated he gets, the more fun it might be for the guy who's causing it. It's the way it is. Someone who has a chano, a novo, so such a person is able to, he's accepted by the people around him, and he's mekubal, he's ohav yoshev. And he says on he brings that over here about a melech, that this particular melech used to rush from place to place. When he had to travel, he would go running quickly. Not like other malachim, who used to take their time, and there would be big trumpets, and everything would play, and it would be everybody would gather to see them, because they're covered. But he would rush. And when they would ask him, why was he rushing? He would say, there are two reasons. One reason why I'm rushing is because for myself, if I rush, it looks like a skivet, because I don't want people to make a big stink over me. I don't want to be viewed as being arrogant. I'm not fooling myself. And the second reason is because Mepneshal Yoda and Yochel of Atzei Yosef Maher Smash and Yehoi Lechlafet. And then he said, "No, I'll get to where I'm going much faster anyhow." That's all part of Danivas, because he doesn't even want you to think that he's rushing, so he doesn't have to be about Gaiva. That Goofy can be Gaiva. So his excuse is, I want to get there, so let me get there faster. In other words, he's giving a reason for why he's rushing and willing to overlook the cover that he's losing out. Not because he's an honor. No, because he wants to get there. That means in being an honor, you can be a Bhagaiva too. Look how big of honor I am. I'm an honor. Come on, stand up for me, I'm an honor. Right? And that's the kudu, what he's trying to do, is he's trying to make sure that while he's being an honor, he's not being a Bhagaiva at the same exact time. Now, what does that mean? How does a person get to that madriga? A person has to be tuned out. That means he knows what he could accomplish, but he understands that there's like a higher. The Rebbeinu Shalom running the show. There's such a concept. I share with you an interesting mice that happened. I'll take a little bit from this. In the Anivus of a Mensch. It's an interesting story. It took place way back in the 50s, I think, in the early 50s. When Rav Aaron Kotler, Zechayin Avach, he was Rosh Hashiv of Lakewood, he started Lakewood. Actually, Lakewood started, and they brought him in right as they started to be Rosh Hashiv, I think. But he started, it could be he started. I don't know exactly what happened. There's a krill there already. I don't know. It depends. You have to read the books. I don't know what happened. But Lamaisa, he was Lakewood. He started Lakewood. He is Lakewood. And there was a financial matzav. Yeshivas, since time immemorial, never had any money. And the yeshivas always have to go around fundraising for the maestas. Because if they wouldn't go fundraising for the maestas, there would be no money to pay the rabbi, put food on the table for the bachur, pay for the electric. It wouldn't be shaykh. So he traveled to Baltimore. In those days, it was a tremendous schlep. To get to Baltimore wasn't like today. Just hop in a car and go. You've got to get a train to Penn Station, and from there to another train, from there to the Amtrak train, and then you'll walk a mile or take a taxi. And it was a schlep. And a Rudiman, the Chorin Levachad, the Rosh Hashiva of Nei Yisrael, in Baltimore, He was the one who started Nei Yisrael in Baltimore. I've heard of him, I don't know if you've heard of him. But he came to greet Reb Aaron, the covet of Reb Aaron Kotler, and he was going to help take him around the neighborhood, the community, to try to bolster the fundraising so that when he went back to Lakewood, he wouldn't go back with 30 cents in his pocket. He'd go back with some money. Now, you have to realize, just to give you a little of a sidebar story, money sometimes, many times, all the time almost, causes even an anav to be a bakayah. It's very hard to be an anav when you're rich. Very hard. I mean, I was never rich, I couldn't tell you. But from looking around, it's a very hard thing to do. Because look, I get all the money, I can do whatever I want. Yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make it disappear in a second. Not only that, he can make a person think it's gone. You all know the famous story, maybe we don't know, but back in 1930, during the times of the Great Depression in America, Chutz La'aretz, there was a lot of people that were calling it quits, ending their lives when they saw their fortunes disappearing. Because the stock market crashed in 1929, and everybody lost their money, and people became paupers overnight, mamish. Mamish, overnight. You read the stories, see the lines outside the banks here. It gives you a little bit of an understanding. You speak to anybody who was alive in those days. There was a panic of, we're going to all die of starvation. The world is coming to an end. An end. There was one guy that took stock of his money and realized he only had $10 million left. I don't know how much he started with. And he committed suicide. Now it's amazing because if you just prorate what $10 million till today, it's, I don't know what, but it's probably more than $10 million. Who knows? It's a lot of money. But in his mind, he had come from who knows how many. He only had $10 million left. Not could die to live. Committed suicide. So with that understanding, in the 40s and the 50s, people weren't just going to throw money towards some yeshiva in Lakewood with, I don't know, 50 guys sitting and learning Torah, some antiquated thing back from the olden days. You know, get up off your seats and go get a job. You know, like people weren't that supportive of the yeshivas in the mid-1900s. It just wasn't a thing that was, it just wasn't popular. It's still, in 2011, not very popular when you have to go collecting by people who are hurting. And they can't part with the little they have because they're scared. They don't know what to do. They used to have more, now they have less. They don't know what to do. But in those days, it was gefela. So Rudiman wanted to try to create a matzav to bring it in. So they started going around. And there was a sign outside of one of these conservative / reconstructionist shuls. Real. No, not modern Orthodox, less than that, okay? That they were having a big concert that night, a mixed concert with mixed singers and everything, and dancing, mixed dancing, and to benefit one of their motherhood things that they have, sisterhood things that they have in the shul, a program that they take seniors on tours and trips and whatever, they bring in money. And with a big tumult and with advertisements in the papers. And it was going to be held that night or the next night. And a day or two after, and meanwhile, Rudiman was taking Reb Aaron to some houses, appointments, making a few dollars. How much money was he making already? And then in the local newspaper, they had the headlines, blaring headlines that over $100,000 was raised by that one event that night in this synagogue, and we give thanks to this performer and this performer and this performer. It was an amazing success. And it was equivalent to almost $1 million, basically. In a two-hour mixed dancing concert with some nash. What do they call it in the Hebrew? Kavod kal. What are they? I'm learning the language. When they say with some refreshments, light refreshments will be served. I'm just learning it in the invitations. You see it. I don't know what it's called. Some light refreshments. Oh, yeah. Eric Byron thought I caught the newspaper, and he got a chalishas for a few seconds. He says, he got to leave Lakewood for weeks. Can't give shir. Can't be learning with his talmidim. Can't be in front of his gemara learning where he wants to be. Schlepping around, getting the door slammed on him. Dogs chasing him out of the house. To make $5, $10, and $15, and that's a big donation. And this guy, right, this little organization, because it's a mixed little whatever, to make a mixed concert, and they bring in $100,000. I can't take it. He was beside himself. So Rav Ruderman said to him, "Divin Chum," he says, "I'm going to tell you pshat." And he said to him, "If you look in the Torah, in the Pasuk, in Chumash, you see an interesting thing. You see that when somebody kills somebody by accident, he has to run to an Ari Miklat. The Ari Miklats have to be set up three on either yard, then three in there to throw. And there are signs hung up. It says, you have to put up signs so that the Ritzach knows where to run. Because we don't want that the girl Adam to catch him, the relative of the deceased, and kill him. So we make it easy for the one who committed the murder by accident to get to the Ari Miklat so his life can be spared. And there's signs exactly. Make a left, 2 miles, make a right, at the fork, make a left. It exact clear directions. Yet, if we look in the Torah, it tells us that we have to be early regal 3 times a year, come to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. And it doesn't tell us how to get there. Punfakert, it has that the people being early regal have to keep stopping and asking directions. How do I get to the Harabites? How do I get to Artsian? How do I get there? Do I take the one bus? Do I take the two bus? How do I go? Frank de Ruderman, Rav Ruderman said, what's going on here? Why is it by one the Torah tells you, by the way, Tzach, him, we want him to know where to go. And this guy, these people, Klai Yisrael, 3 times a year gotta go, and they have to fumble around with a GPS? It should be the other way around. Answers Rav Ruderman. The terrorists is because we don't want, Hashem doesn't want people to know that this guy murdered someone by mistake. So we don't want him to have to ask directions. So hang him up so he knows where to go. But by early regal, the more the merrier. When people are lost and they ask for directions and you say, oh, where are you going? I'm going up to be early regal. Ah, you know, I'll go with you. And then you'll go to the next corner and you ask, okay, do I make a right or a left? Or you make a right, why, where are you going? Or the regular, you know something, I'll go also. And slowly it starts off from the furthest part, and by the time they get to Harabai, it's the whole Klai Yisrael being early regal. In Chok Kiddush, Hashem Gedele Mizu. So we don't want that there should be signs. There should be more people that know about early regal. More people that know about our Kiddush Baruch Hu. More people that know and see Kiddush Shem Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rav Ruderman, doesn't want people to know that this fadorfano place exists. So he lets them get the 100 grand in one night and goodbye, they're off the front pages in 2 days. But that another Yid could see her of Aaron Kol, and that another Yid could see the Lakewood Yeshiva, and that another Yid, so he's going to make you stay here for 3 weeks in order that more people should know about you. So, beautiful story. Rav Aaron Kotler was amazed. Ah, my kasha is, Rav Aaron Kotler didn't know that pshat in the Kumis. The Teretz is another. Rav Aaron Kotler wasn't there. People want to see me? Huh? It wasn't him. There was no him there. Yeah, people want to see him. There we go. Okay. There's a certain concept. Of course he knew that. But that people would change their mouth. What do we see here? Gevaldik Zach. When it comes to Kedusha, it comes to Kiddush Yem Shemayim, V'chol Amar Barayza Meshubach, the Rabbi Shalom doesn't want to make it easy for us because he wants to be Moisif. When it comes to bid, to the girl Adam, to the Reitzach, let him go. Because that's a chilul Shem Shemayim. That's what... He could have taken the credit, Gavir. He could have taken the credit. But it was a big kiddush Shem Shemayim. Teres Moshe Yinach Nitzachta. What could be better than that? That all of these people are going to go back and that whole Africa is going to be talking about Teres Moshe. Ain't Lecha Kiddush Shem Shemayim Gedolim Yizu. Oh, that's Takap Shah. Why did it?